give it up for Jesus today? Come on, you can do better than that. Florida, RPC, everywhere. How many of y'all glad you're saved, sanctified? Come on, Florida. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, and not only are you saved, you're good looking. Just tell them that. Even if it's by faith, just tell them you're good looking. Hey, listen, today at all the campuses, this is the first weekend in March. We're going to march into March, and it's about 5 weekends until Easter. Easter is the one time of year that all of your neighborhood is expecting you to invite them to church. People are just one ask away, and everybody goes to church on Easter and Christmas. That's why we call them Christers, right? And so at any rate, today on your way out, they're going to hand you a stack of these, and I want you, when you go to Starbucks, when you go to wherever you go, take them everywhere. Put them on the flyer cars, take them to work, because friends don't let friends go to hell. Their future is at stake. How many of y'all think this church would help everybody everywhere? Come on, give it up. I love that question, you know, that they ask, how do we grow together? And the first thing I want to show you here is don't be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. What's that mean? The Bible's referring to like two oxen hooked up together and they're yoked together. And if one oxen is pulling this way and the other one's backing up, you never really go forward. So what we do oftentimes, and we're gonna talk about relationship and how to not kill each other in marriage. Can I get an amen with that one? But first of all, your marriage will never work right if you don't get the right person. Got really quiet in here. So if you're just looking at aesthetics, you're just looking at their abs, you're just looking at her face, things fade. Now, here's the good part. The older you get, I met a couple in the hallway a minute ago. They said they've been married 50 years. I said, okay, I was 3 when you guys got married, so I feel intimidated now. I don't even want to talk. Like, I should shut up, sit down. I noticed that she had fallen and broken her arm, but I said, was that really a break or did you hit him? You know what I'm saying? They worked out their salvation, but unequally yoked. So if you don't go and meet the right person at the right space and place, you can really waste a lot of your time. The Bible says this, and I'll put it on the screens for you. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? I want to read it out of the Living Translation as well. It says, don't team up, don't hook up with those who are unbelievers. How can a righteous, you know, be a partner with wickedness? How can the light live together with darkness? So it's very important that you meet the right person. Now, I know how it is. You get lonely. Anybody in here ever gotten lonely? Come on, all of our campuses today. Some of you just, I guess, partied all the time. It's not a lot of... not a lonely people. Let's try that one more time. How many of y'all have ever been lonely? And so you go and you make a temporary decision looking for the wrong thing. They always say that there's 4 things a man wants. He wants something that looks like a girl, acts like a lady, thinks like a man, and works like a dog. But that's not really what you want in a relationship. You want somebody that's going to be a co-laborer with you in the gospel. Somebody that's going to help you raise those kids. And let's talk about that just for a second, blended families. How many at all of our campuses today, you have a blended family, right? So when Florida will love this, because Pastor Austin, who's actually in St. Louis this weekend, Pastor Austin, when he was 7, I got Nicole. I saw her, fell in love with her, saw him, and fell in love with him. It was like when you go buy cologne, and like, this cologne is great, but it actually comes with a free bag. Come on, somebody. So I never changed a diaper. I never had the terrible twos. He was old enough to wash the car. This was a win-win. So I don't want any girls thinking that, hey, it's a negative that I have this kid. Actually, it's a very positive if you get a man. Now, if you get a self-absorbed boy who doesn't know how to be a father, then automatically you know that's not your man. You're trying to raise a boy, and you don't need to raise 2 boys. Can I get an amen from a woman? It's kind of quiet in St. Louis this weekend. I don't know. Am I preaching to myself today? How many of you at least have seen people make these kind of mistakes? They go out clubbing and bumping. First of all, you just, if you brought your friend this weekend, it's like, man, did he just say that? Listen, this is not Joel Osteen's church. I love Joel, but we got people in here clubbing and bumping. That's right. That's how half of y'all got here. Okay. I saw a joke. Actually, I wrote it down. It said, this joke, I love, it fits right here right now. It says, they asked this 9-year-old, how'd your mom and dad meet? He said, well, they met 9 years ago and 9 months ago. They were at a dance party at a friend's house. They went for a drive and the car broke down. It's really a good thing though, because it allowed them to find out about their values, said the 9-year-old. Get what I'm saying? They were 9 years old. They went out. If you don't get this, you don't know. You've never kissed in a car. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Nicole told me that joke wouldn't work. She was right. She says, too complicated. So see, that's marriage right now. I'm telling you, I want to give credit to her that way. And also, that fixes the marriage problem, because then she doesn't have to tell me after church, told you that wouldn't work. I'll say in front of everybody, didn't work. Ding, ding, got some points. Y'all see where I'm going with this? I'm always teaching you. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. It says, sometimes, this is Paul. Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways. You don't see this really, you know, read a lot at weddings. How many of y'all never heard this read at a wedding? It's never been on a plaque. Here's your marriage. It's always like, love is kind, love is, okay. This one here, it didn't make the cut. But celibacy is not for everyone. And can I get an amen on that one? You guys won't vote for anything in Missouri. Glad I'm not a politician, man. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is for everyone. God gives the gift of the single life to some and the gift to the married life to others. So they're both a gift. I met a person recently who said, hey, you know, I don't want to get married. I'm fine not being married. They were just alone. And she said, I'm not alone. I'm with God. And that's great. Then there's other people who go, I don't like to be alone. Remember Jerry Maguire? He was like, I don't do alone. So you have to figure out what the gift is for you and what God called you to do. Now, here's what Hollywood does. Hollywood tries to paint a picture of marriage as bad. You know, two people are talking. By the way, I want to warn you, you should have put the kids in Faith Kids because we're talking about adult stuff. And by the way, if you freak out this weekend, go, oh my gosh, my 12-year-old was in the room and he said sex. Chances are they know more about sex than you. You ought to go talk to them, bring a pen and paper, okay? Sex is where you should learn sex from church, not from the school system, not from rappers, not from Hollywood. God made it. Can I get an amen, Florida? Somebody ought to be, y'all ought to be like, God made it. Yes, it did. And if you do that, I know you don't have the gift of singleness. So the world always paints like this pictures, these little things of like, oh, you know, how's your sex life? What do you mean sex? I'm married. How many of y'all have seen digs like this? See, they're always trying to undermine marriage, and marriage is something that God instituted. It is a holy union, and if you do it right, it's heaven on earth. And if you do it wrong, well, you fill in the blanks. So it could be your choice to say, hey, I'm going to make sure that I understand that marriage is a gift, or in your case, if you say singleness is a gift. That it's fine. But make sure that you're honoring God in both of those scenarios. Somebody ought to shout amen. Amen. Now, Matthew 19, verse 4, it says this. He says, haven't you read in the Bible the Creator originally made a woman and a man for each other, male and female? So he made man and woman for each other. There should be great joy and satisfaction in being married. Now, what happens is you get married. First of all, you go on a date and you're like, oh yeah, you know, man, we just talk all the time. And guys actually on a date know how to communicate. When they get married, they just kind of grunt. And I think it comes from birth. I'm watching my 2-year-old right now, my grandson, he's 2, and he just does that. He's like, and his mom says, Liam, use your words. Then he ends up using his words. But I was thinking, man, there's great similarities to what he is doing and what I do. Why do I feel so alone in here? So God created man and woman together to enjoy each other. But once you get together, you have to continue to not just nod or not just listen. They said that women speak double the amount of words as men. But Nicole says it's because I don't listen. So she has to say it 2 times. Can I get an amen on that? So we have to understand that God made us for each other, but we have to understand each other. By the way, women, men are different than women. So guys are like, you know, women come and say, Pastor David, my marriage is in trouble. He does this and he does that. You know, he just watches football all the time. What did he do when you got married? Watch football all the time. And then he just kind of lays around the house during the weekend. What's wrong with him? He's normal. That's what guys do. If it's a bowling ball, they love it. If it's tennis ball, they love it. If it's football, they love it. If it's a baseball, they love it. They just love it. If you want their attention, just get a little ball like a puppy and just fetch it to him, okay? So let's talk about that for a minute. The Bible said, deal with one another according to knowledge, so men think different than women. So you didn't want a girlfriend. If you wanted a girlfriend, you should have got a girlfriend. Well, he just doesn't talk to me. I walk up to him and I talk to him. And I can just tell he's upset. I can tell he's stressed. How many of y'all can tell when your man is stressed? So you go up and women go up to him and they said, oh, do you want to talk about it? What's wrong? Do you want to talk about it? I know you want to talk about it because that's what you would want to do. You would want to talk about it. But the guy wants to be left alone. So if you're just going, dude, I know you want to talk about it. I just know, will you just talk to me about it? It would just make me feel so good. Make me feel so good if you would just tell me what is wrong. And then you ask him, what are you thinking about? And he says, nothing. And let's talk about that for a minute. You think, is it possible for a man to think about nothing? It is absolutely possible, and it's what we do about 80% of the time. When you ask us, what are we thinking about? We're not thinking about nothing. But you're so complicated. I got a little computer board that shows you the difference between a man, the complications between a man and a woman. Not that one. There's a little board. That was a good one, though. Do you see how many other knobs there are on a woman? A man just gets turned on and turned off. And all you got to do is walk in the room with your Gucci on, or better yet, nothing on, and he just flips his switch. But guys, you have to understand that all these knobs right here are because that woman, she doesn't think about ball. She doesn't think about, she wants to know how you feel. Then she also wants to talk to you about how she feels. And here's where guys make their mistakes, because you don't know the difference between a man and a woman. So what I do is, guys, we fix stuff. We fix trucks. We fix sinks. We fix leaky toilets. We fix problems. So when you tell us what's wrong, here's where you guys make a mistake. You try to solve their problem. You're going to get in all kinds of trouble. All these knobs are going to just start going crazy. So if you want your switch to flip, don't try to fix her. Listen to her and understand that she just wants to communicate to you what's going on and how she feels about it. And then all you have to do is say, man, that's a lot. Even though on the inside you're like, she's being such a girl right now. She's a girl. That's what you liked about her. Come on, Florida. It was what you liked about her. It's what you were attracted to. And you girls were attracted to a man. You weren't attracted to like some little wimpy dude. Like, hi, I want to talk to you. I want to be with you. I want to be careful here. But I'm just saying, if you married a man, then don't make fun of him for being a man. He wants to kill stuff, you know, like deer and rabbits and birds. He wants to golf. He wants to tennis. And he wants to get turned on, which is part of what it's part of what you have to do. But guys, you have to understand that girls have feelings, and to you, it's not in the brain. You don't think with your brain. Come on, somebody ought to help me right here on this week. You just don't. That's what gets everybody in trouble. They're not. What was he thinking? He wasn't. Raise your hand. Come on, if you're here. So what we do is we allow the enemy and the enemy to self-sabotage. But if you can ever get a woman's knobs all just right, and she feels like she's loved, she's secure, she's sexy, she'll keep the lights on and let you look at her. I got quiet. I know it's my last weekend on this. We're going out with a bang. Bang, bang. Okay, verse 4, one more time. Have you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other? I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. Believe it or not, he's still in me. God didn't make you for your kids. He didn't make you for your dog. He didn't make you for your horse. These are all little things that distract the relationship. So now you two are in business, and you got to take this one to soccer, and this one to ballet, and this one here, and this one there. And now, guess what? This guy, let's put the flip switch back up one more time, Tim. That guy right there, he's just got one simple little flip switch. But you've got all this stuff that you've got to do. Because when you go camping, you've got to bring all the pieces. When you go on vacation, you've got to think about the eggs and the bacon and all this stuff. And the guy didn't think anything about that other than the big mag light that he bought that he needed to bring and the fishing poles that he needed to bring. Am I talking about a guy right now? Anybody recognize this, okay? So girls have all this complicated stuff, but you got to be careful, ladies, to understand, and men as well. Something can't be more important than your spouse. So all the time, me and Nicole go, when the kids leave, we're not out of business because we were married for 5 years before we had Ashton. Because we wanted to know how we liked each other, what we liked to do. So honestly, when the kids are gone, we're like, turn off the Ring cameras and call us before you come home. Oh, I know I'm too much for you today, but that's your problem. Somebody needs to turn off the Ring camera and get to know each other. I see a lot of guys wanting to buy into this, but they're looking like, I think I speak for a lot of guys and a lot of girls. Girls want to be held and nothing else. And I would encourage you guys to just think about that and go, okay, tonight is nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. And then girls, you got to understand that God put it in a man to be fruitful and to multiply. So we talked about it 2 weeks ago, but go back on the app and watch it. Because a guy wants sexual relationship with his wife, does it make him weird? It makes him normal. Because a woman wants to be held and be communicated to and not, she doesn't want grunted at, she wants a communication. Even if it's on a card, you gotta read it, screenshot it, put it on your phone and go, roses are red, violets are blue, and I wanna hold you. And that's all I wanna do. Take it down. I think they've seen it enough, Tim. Thank you. Okay. Verse 5, 19:5. And because of this, a man leaves his father and his mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh. No longer two, but one. Because God created this organic union of the two sexes, no one should degrade it. It rips God's heart out when we try to destroy what God has joined together. The enemy, y'all know this, every campus, the enemy comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Shout it again. He does what? So let's put up the three C's of marriage. The three C's of marriage, Florida, looks like this: online, Facebook, metaverse. Commitment, number one. Women need to know that you are committed. And the enemy tries to always show you a bunch of drama, and you see all the shows on Netflix, and they're in and out, and you know, they're jumping from bed to bed, and tonight we're going to the love suite, who gets the rose, who does this, and we're always promoting sex, which inside the confines of marriage is great, but nobody is promoting commitment because the devil doesn't want you committed. But here's the problem. If you're not committed, you might need to be committed. At some point, because the Bible said that it'll drive you crazy, because if a man doesn't keep his mind right, which means I'm going to renew my mind, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be faithful at church, and it turns out, well, the Bible said that the faithful person shall abound in blessing. Amen. So commitment, everybody shout commitment. Amen. Be committed, be committed, shout it with me, be committed, be. Where's my cheerleaders at?
Be committed.
That's not bad. Number two, communication. We talked about that just a little bit, but communication is an important thing. I want to talk about failure to communicate for a minute. This week, me and Nicole were at a function, went to dinner with some friends, and some conversation that got going, and then somehow, I don't know what happened, at some point, Nicole, something like just kind of rubbed her the wrong way. And she's diplomatic, everything's fine, nothing's weird. But if you've been married to somebody for 25 years, you can tell that's just not right. It's late at night, we're going back to the hotel, and I went ahead and communicated to her and told her, and she said, I really don't want to communicate about it right now because I got wake, pray, slay in the morning. You talk about commitment. That is 5 a.m. where we were at. So at 5 a.m., while I was snoring, She got up, put on her makeup, put her eyelashes. You just can't go viral on Facebook without all your stuff. Come on, girls, go with me on this. But she was committed. But Nicole said, hey, she was smart about communication because she said, this could go the wrong way and we could be up a long time. Because she was very wise on how to communicate. Then I wanted her to sleep good because, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the beloved having sweet sleep. Plus, the Bible didn't say this, but somewhere it said, you need your beauty sleep. How many of y'all have heard that? And so I don't want an ugly woman. Come on, go with me on this. I don't want her to sleep good. So I communicated with her and I said, no, I want to hear it. Tell me. Then I calmly, she could tell you this, I calmly listened with body language. Yeah. And then I came back to the commitment part, telling her where I was committed to her and how I could up my communication and a few things that I could have done a whole lot better. Then she went to bed and can you put that control panel up one more time? I must have turned that knob and this knob and that knob and that knob. And then guess what I didn't do? I flipped my switch off and I held her. And I want to tell you that was hard to do. Her legs were shaved. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Just felt right. I actually make a mistake sometimes, Florida, and look at a crowd. I looked at one guy and he's looking like. It just really does affect you. You're like, he's like, shave legs. Never seen that. Okay, so commitment. Everybody shout it again. Commitment. Then communication. But see, sometimes you don't want to communicate because you're like, I don't want to communicate because I'm mad. Or we make it really hard on the person to communicate. And here's what I know. I'm 53. I know what you're thinking. You don't look a day over 52. Thank you. But at 53, I've learned this. I don't want to start over. I love that girl. She loves me. We got kids together. We got grandkids together. I don't want to screw this up. So every day I go, God, please don't let me screw this up. So I'm one decision away from screwing up my whole life. But I've decided that I'm going to communicate to her. She's going to communicate to me. Other people that are around me communicate to me all the time, ways I can do things better. I don't need any more DMs from you on the sexual content of this talk today and how Joel wouldn't have done it that way. Watch Joel. Just flip a switch and watch Joel. I love Joel. By the way, he's married to Victoria's Secret. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I know Joel. Communicate. Am I helping anybody right now? Then the last C is compromise. Everybody shout compromise. I'm not a compromiser. You're going to have to be. It's not all about you. It can't be all about you. This week, I forget what it was. Something happened with me and Nicole again. I know her. You know, she said something. She's right on. It was like something I did for her that was very nice, but it was just as good of a value for me. And I said whatever it was. Because guys, by the way, they want points. Guys also, by the way, Florida, they give themselves massive amount of points. Like when they like take out the trash, like 10,000 points. They put a bag in it, another 10,000 points. Come on, am I telling the truth right now? Well, I came home from work and the guys went bowling, 100,000 points. I babysat the kids, 10,000 points. No, that's called parenting, you moron. It was your kid. It's your offspring. I let you flip a switch on my shaved leg. Somebody ought to help me right now. I know it's too much for some people. So you got to compromise. You know, when Nicole said that brought value to you. She wasn't saying it in a mean way, so much so that I laughingly said, hey, you know what? It reminds me of the first year we were married, the first Christmas. I didn't know what to get her. So I got her a bike, but it wasn't a girl's bike. It was a boy's bike because I thought we could both use that bike. Just telling you, I've come a long way in 25 years, right? I see the people have been married 50 years like, dumb idea. So God, what I'm saying is God made men and women very, very different. So if we don't compromise and realize maybe he thinks like a man, wait a minute, he is. And maybe she thinks like a girl because she is a girl. And God made both of them. God created man, boom. He looked and said, I can do better. And then he put the man asleep. He took a rib from a man, which, by the way, you'd have to have a man asleep if you took a rib. Some guys don't like to share their food, is what I'm getting at. Then he made man, but he formed woman. And then he put them together. And he said, be fruitful. And multiply. What does that mean, Pastor David, in the Hebrew? That's how everybody got here. When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. Right? So you're sitting there, by the way, music helps moods. I feel like I need to go there, even though, man, I got so much stuff to talk about. But honestly, I promise you this weekend, I feel the Holy Spirit talk to me. While I'm talking to you, I swear to you, he's talking to me on the inside. I'm not doing this by myself. So he told me, he said, you know, the enemy, while I'm telling you this right now, he says, tell them more about sex because the enemy has come in through a phone. Don, give me my phone real quick. The enemy come in and it's so easy now to lose intimacy for images. I'm just one click away from every porn site in the world right here. I can read my Bible, get on YouVersion, or watch porn. Just one, you could do either or. You go to faithchurch.com and watch that. Back in the day when these couples got married 50 years ago, I don't think they mind me saying, they didn't have an iPhone. They had phones with cords. 50 years ago, they might not even had a phone. They would have had a switchboard operator. Come on, help me right now. When I was talking about their sharing a bike, they might have only had transportation of a bike 50 years ago. But everything has changed. So that's why God doesn't want you to withstand or hold each other because I'm mad, so I'm going to withhold my body. Then a guy, oftentimes, because the necessity of what he's doing, I'm not saying it's right, I'm saying it's where the enemy has got them trapped. So what we need to do is be honest with each other and say, hey, honey, I'm getting kind of tempted right now, and I'm heading down the wrong path. And what I need to do right now is I need that one flip switch. It needs to go up. And if you've done everything you can, and she's operating in the Word of God like she should be and you should be, you're loving her, you're esteeming her, you're valuing her, and then you're not withholding yourself from him, I promise you, things go better when guys and girls get together and do what they're supposed to do. I'm so glad I'm self-confident because this is really, really quiet. We're saving marriages. We're teaching kids. Because this in your computer can just get you in trouble. Come on, Florida, stick with me on this process. All right. Proverbs 14, verse 4. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. What's that mean? If you got an ox, it's going to get dirty. It's going to be manure. There's going to be, it's just where no oxen is, it's clean. But I'm saying where a man is, it's not necessarily always clean. As in, you have to communicate to each other and go, hey, we need to clean this up. Now, I do want to say this as I'm really running out of time very rapidly. Women don't want another child to raise, and men don't want a mom. Even though it's confusing, girls, because sometimes we revert back. We're sick. You're like, mama, would you rub Vicks VapoRub on me? And I'm too sick to get myself a root beer in that remote. Could you help me? So it's confusing, but just remember, ultimately, he doesn't want a mom because he's supposed to leave his mom. And you're supposed to leave your mom and dad and join yourself to that person. That's what the Bible said to do. And it's the only way it works. So, where no ox is, the stall is clean. So understand that a man and a woman, again, they think way differently. By the way, I looked at the stats and it says married people live longer statistically than single people. And have better sex. I know it's kind of the sex talk today. But married people that have been married and they have anointed relationships, it's just better. Oh, it looks great on TV and hook up with that person. I'm going to hook up with this person. That's really not going to be good. When you're married to somebody for 25 years, you know, what if you just get married to the new person? You start nibbling on their ear and they're like, I hate that. And you didn't know that. I heard a joke one time, it just came up in my little database where an old woman, she said, you never nibble on my ear anymore. And then he got out of bed, he's walking away, and she said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get my teeth. That wasn't in the sermon, but it just came out because it's in there. Okay. So again, godly relationships. After this series, after going to church, when you serve a church, you go to Growth Track, you worship God, God just anoints your marriage, and no longer will it just be lustful. And there's, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being majorly attracted to your husband or wife, But it's not just lust. It's actually an anointed relationship that God espouses and he joins it together and it just lasts and it helps you to get along better when you tell the kids, go away. All right, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, talking about your wives, with understanding. We just talked about some of the differences. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, but being heirs together. Notice you guys are heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm going to pause there for 1 minute and say that many times people pray prayers, but the Bible says where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. So if you're always bickering and fighting and then you're like, God, meet all of our needs. God, give us a house. Give us a loan. God can never hear your prayers because you're actually not walking in love. Because the Bible said that love never fails. Does that make sense? Even at the church sometimes, if our finances dip, things go bad, I got to find out, how is my behavior with my fellow man? Because oftentimes the way I treat other people is the way I ultimately have treated God. But when I get together with God, I was praying this morning, crying, praying, worshiping God, and I just felt like I even wanted to tell you, and I think I'll tell you right now, I'm in love with our church, and I'm in love with you, and I just need everybody at every campus to know that I love doing this with you. I like to see you grow. I like to see you succeed. I want to see your kids succeed. When you go through hell, we want to go through hell with you. If you go through loss, we're going to go through loss with you, but we're going to get this together. I want to communicate to you, I love you, and I want to spend my time being loyal to you, loving to you, praying for you, faithful to you. And some people don't like my hair long, other people want it short. Stick around, eventually it'll probably go away totally. I'm almost done. Just wanted to tell you that. Verse 8, and I love you guys too. Love you too. Sweet. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Both of you and your wife, having compassion for one another. It's hard to be a mom. It's hard to be a husband. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers and be tender-hearted. Here's a big one, guys. Be courteous. You used to be nice. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. My little grandson, I promise you, he is the politest little dude in the world. He dropped his apple today and he said, Wally, he says sorry with a W. Wally, excuse me. His grandmother last night, we were driving like in the snowstorm for like 6 hours. She went inside and she got him this little treat. Came in, he's young, so he doesn't know this sugary substance. He starts drinking it. He didn't want it. He drank it and he looked and said, tasty. And he said, thank you, bae. Then her heart melted. And then I knew, I may sleep with her tonight, but he's sleeping right in the middle. There's just nothing there. And he looks at me and goes, Wally, right? So my point is, be tender-hearted, Florida. Be compassionate. Verse 9, check this out. This solves it, guys. Not returning evil for evil. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to do this. You're called to be married. For he who would love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So when your husband says something stupid, and he's going to, don't just come back to it. Nicole's going to say things that hurt my feelings. But I've got to realize that I probably say a whole lot more that hurt her feelings. Because after all, I've done a lot of talking this weekend. But I try to, and I've modeled it for you as well, to say none of us get out of here alive. And that person chose to be with you. And for us to be sneaking around on Facebook or DMing other people that used to go to high school, these are dangerous things. And so all the time, as we're closing, Nicole had my phone today for about an hour. It wasn't an inspection of my phone, but I wasn't nervous because I didn't have nothing to hide. I want her to have access. Some of my team and staff member has access to that. So you shouldn't be like, hey, what are you looking at my phone for? That ought to scare the crap out of you. That's my phone. No, we're married. That's our phone. Now I'm scared. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I went there. I'm sorry. I probably won't go there next time, but I will. Now, 7 things. We're going to leave after this. 7 things to put up on the board. 7 things. You can get out your phone. 7 things that will help you. Get out your phone. take a picture. Number one, be vulnerable. Have constructive arguments. If their family member had a prison record, don't bring it up. Verbalizing gratitude and apologies. Learn each other's love languages. Nicole's love language is acts of service. Mine is physical touch after 10 o'clock. Especially if her legs are shaved. Come on, somebody, I'll just be honest. Verse five. That's when you know you're a preacher. Number five. Laugh together and enjoy each other. Do you remember when you guys used to have fun? We don't have fun anymore. It's too much hurt. Listen, God can heal that hurt. Go to church, get to growth track, say, Jesus, help me, and then communicate to each other, and God can heal you. And guess what? There's a book you should read. And it just came up in my spirit. There's a book called 7 Days of Sex by Ed Young. Write it down. It's a pastor in Dallas. If you just Google it, might not want to Google that, 7 Days of Sex. If you do, do it with your wife. Come on, somebody, do it together. But there's a book called 7 Days of Sex with Ed Young. What is it? Sexperiment. Sexperiment. I don't think you need to Google any of this alone. But there's a book. Pastor Ed Young says, after all of his years of pastoring, almost all counseling was eradicated after they committed to have sex every day for, I think it's a week or 14 days. Seven days. Some of you are looking like, oh my God, that would kill me. And guys are like, I love this church. I'm never missing this. Where's that growth track room? I'm going now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We don't miss a day of church. Six, pay attention to the small things. Nicole is very, very clean. Very much like my daughter. We're both creative. Towels everywhere. She told me a couple weeks ago, she said, it would really make me, you know what would make me happy? It's no big deal if you don't do it, but I'd love it if you just started. Every day you take the towel and you throw it over the chair and then you go get your underwear and put it on. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, if you could take the towel and put it on the towel rack. And I didn't go, who are you to tell me what to do? I knew immediately. I looked at her shaved leg and said, yes, ma'am, I'm gonna put that towel right over there right now. And so now that she communicated that, it's just small things. Now when I see the towel, I go, oh yeah, that bothers her. So what bothers each other? By the way, don't go home and make a list. Here, Bob. Come on, Florida, go with me on this. Don't go home and make a list. Love each other, because Nicole said recently on one of the teachings, and you go back on the app and watch it, she talked for a couple minutes on there about making sure that we're not trying to work on just the other person, that we're working on us. And the more you improve as a person, the better the relationship will be. Verse 7, always, everybody shout this with me, always focus on the positive. That's hard to do. But if you focus on the positive, and as I close, I got a call not long ago from a guy. I was in the shower in a hotel room in Atlanta, and the call said, your phone's ringing like crazy. It's the same person 3 times. Should I pick it up? I said, yeah. And the guy's screaming to the top of his lungs because he just walked in and his wife had shot herself in the shower. He called the cops and called me. As you can imagine, for 40 years of marriage, he was devastated. And as a friend, I've been walking beside him during this journey. But you know what it really made me do? It made me greatly appreciate my wife and the lives of others. So oftentimes we don't know, because people put on a mask, like everything's okay, but some people have some situations and some mental illness, and the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I just feel like this weekend, some of us, if we do, wait a minute, instead of focusing on all the negative things he did or she did, what would I do without that person? Yeah. Nicole just grabbed me a while ago in the hallway at our little house was getting ready. She just said, look at me in the eyes a minute. She said, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I think you're a good man. And I kind of act like, I don't care, but I was really going, that's food for my soul. So communicate it. It's never too late to start over again with each other. Don't try to go somewhere else. I want to pray for you today at every campus, every head bowed, Every eye closed. Florida, Royal Palm, West Palm. They're in the high school right now. God's moving. This, you know, on these Sundays, when you come to church, God just begins to flow and to grow on the inside of you. Father, I pray right now for every marriage that, God, you would go in there and heal the betrayal, the hurt, the heartache. If we've been married any time at all, we've done things that drain the energy and the love out. But, God, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is made perfect in our weakness. And God, as we go to church and we get involved and we're faithful, God, we didn't get into this mess overnight, so we're not going to get out overnight, but with your help, we're going to get stronger. I pray, God, the healing balm of Gilead to go in and out every row, up and down every aisle, through social media today, through the television screen, and touch people where they hurt. And God, I pray for every single person today. That God, they are believing God in this sick society, this dumpster fire called America, to find somebody with their values. God, I believe that they're going to seek you, and then you're going to cause all things to work together for their good. And this year, I believe, God, you're going to bring the right person into their life because they will be the right person. Grace for this space in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm talking about Jesus. He's so good.